I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Simon Constable, who ordinarily is speaking to me from Paradise, the south of France. Right now he's speaking to me from Hadrian's Wall, keeping the blue people on the other side of the wall from Simon, a proper Englishman. However, we're speaking to a European concern. Simon, you've been reporting on energy prices for years, and France is well conditioned for the future because of so much of its electricity comes from nuclear power. That is not the case in other countries, especially in Spain, which has been boasting of its renewables being a big part of its grid. This headline from the FT in these last hours, Spain's PM, Pedro Sanchez, under fire as country reels from power cut. Opposition parties demand more transparency from government over collapse of country's electricity system. Most of Spain has now been restored. Most of Portugal has been restored. France, what damage France experienced was restored quickly. UK was not touched. However, without an explanation, this could happen anywhere because the EU is very pleased with itself having been the leader in switching to renewables over these last years. Simon, do you have an explanation that's more attractive than any other right now, knowing there's no definitive yet? They need an investigation. What makes sense?
A lot of things make sense. One is there doesn't appear to have been the extreme weather conditions that would have changed the oscillation of the electricity in the grid, which is something that a lot of people were pointing at. I'm quoting a gentleman who is an expert in this. He's called Professor Wu, and he's a professor of multi-vector energy systems at the University of Cardiff. And he's also got a lot of other titles too, which involve looking at this sort of thing for the entire country in the UK. One of the things is a rapid atmospheric change can cause physical oscillations in transmission lines, as reported in the current Spain-Portugal incident. It can also disrupt large interconnected workers. However, and this is the key quote, however, I am not aware of extreme weather conditions in Spain today. My daughter is on a school trip to Spain, and she told me the weather was really nice there. Well, of course, it's nice it's going to be in Spain, but there wasn't any massive change in that. So I don't think that was the issue. I think it's more likely that it ran close to capacity for the whole grid. There was more demand than really the grid could deal with. I think that seems to be one high on the list of what's going on. It could be human error, which often there is, and it could be that maybe the whole grid hasn't been maintained to the level it's needed to be. Those are at the top of my list of thinking what's going on. I'm going to try and find some experts who can tell me what's right and what's wrong, because it is confusing. And it's not really clear to most people. I think the renewables might have a part to play in any one of those as well.
Yes, they're being blamed, which is rhetorical and politically shrewd, but it doesn't give an answer. So right now we're going to file this as unanswered, unanticipated. It wasn't quite the black swan it could be, because they did restore power and they are working through it. However, it can happen again. To have a whole country go blackout, wow. I lived through two blackouts in Manhattan in my decades there. And Manhattan isn't possible without power. And I can imagine that was the same for Madrid and Barcelona. You have to get out of the city or take refuge. The last blackout that I went through in New York was in the late 20th century. It was a very hot night. And the air conditioning, of course, was out. So the only thing you could do is fill the bathtub with cold water and hope that you could get through the night. There was no other way to survive it. And the buses eventually worked. But it's very dangerous in big cities without power. We're not built for it. Simon, I want to go to a story that you've written that's positive, because I don't want to just deliver bad news about Europe. Airbus has an opportunity to make money. How so? You published in Barron's.
This is fascinating to me. One of the things that about the aerospace business for commercial aircraft is that there are only two major suppliers, and that's Airbus and Boeing. Boeing in America and Airbus based in Toulouse in southern France. It also has other locations that it operates in as well, but that's where its headquarters is. Now, the genius for Airbus is that it's got a few great opportunities in its hands. One is that Boeing has had a disastrous time lately in terms of accidents and quality performance. So a door fell off a plane during mid-flight, and that's not very good. And I believe a couple crashed. Maybe I've got that wrong, but there are other things that are really bad, is that the tariffs put on European Union have not, and China and et cetera, have not had people thinking, well, I want to buy a Boeing. They're now thinking they want to buy an Airbus instead. And those are the two things. So we saw that China was sending back three Boeing 737 Maxes to Seattle because they didn't want to have anything to do with Boeing anymore or in the future while these tariffs were on. And it was a very important message to send back to America, they thought. Anyway, so there's that. And then there's the rest of it, which is that Airbus has a defense unit where they make jets and things like that that are used in wars. And that's going to be very good in Europe, because Europe has decided, finally, after decades of not spending much money on defense, they're going to be ramping that up again to be war ready or battle ready, and hopefully deter Russia from invading the whole of Europe. And that means a lot of money is going to be spent, and I would imagine Airbus gets a lot of that, especially in France.
Simon Constable, publishing in Barron's, about Airbus having a brighter future than, well, at least is well lit, unlike some countries in Europe momentarily. Simon Constable ordinarily is with his plum tree in the south of France.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.